a pleasant evening to each of you. If you take your Old Testament tonight and turn with me to the prophet Isaiah and the 10th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time, Isaiah chapter 10. Appreciate the songs led by Brother Will and the prayer by Brother Hollis that we can worship our God here in the middle of the week and honor and glorify His holy name. In the book of Isaiah and the 10th chapter, I want to read with you beginning at verse 12. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all His work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that He will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks. For he said, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. Also, I have removed the boundaries of the people and have robbed their treasuries. So I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. My hand has found like a nest the riches of the people. And as one gathers eggs that are left, I have gathered all the earth. And there was no one who moved his wing nor opened his mouth with even a peep. When you take your Bible in the book of Isaiah, you'll remember that at this time, the people of God were living in hypocrisy. And you'll find that in the book of Isaiah and the 10th chapter in about verse 6. That the Judah was living contrary to God's law. You'll recall Israel had done that and Israel had fallen. And now Judah is following in the footsteps of Israel and not keeping the law of God. They're not doing what they were instructed to do. And God is going to raise up the army of the Assyrians, and they will be a tool in His hand at this time to bring upon the people of God punishment. And when you look at the Assyrian power, they march through the land and they take over the people of Judah. But there's one thing you can put down tonight when you read verse 13. They let the power go to their head. They did not acknowledge God in any regard. They said, it's by our power that we did this. It's by our wisdom we did this. It's by our wealth we did this. And I want you to note that is the danger of power. Many times people begin to leave God out and they begin to glorify self. And the Assyrians said, look at our power. And they did so in three different areas. And we've mentioned them briefly, but let's go back over them for just a moment. In your Bible, in the book of Isaiah and the 10th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 13, how they were lifted up with pride. When they said, by the strength of my hand I have done it. Underscore that statement, by the strength of my hand. Notice there is no acknowledgement of God. There's no acknowledgement that God was using them. They said, we took over Judah, we caused the downfall, it was by our military might, by our strength, by our wisdom, that we were able to defeat them. And notice they were lifting up with pride. They allowed the fact that they overtook the people of Judah to allow their mind to be filled with pride. And they did not give God glory, they left God out. Now you look carefully at what the Assyrians said. They said, by my hand. Not by God's hand, by my hand. But then if you take your Bible, notice secondly, they make another statement. They do not give God glory in giving knowledge. Look at what they said at the second part of verse 13. And by my wisdom, for I am prudent. You underscored my hand, now underscore my wisdom. They said, you know, we were able to scheme and we were to use military strategy to overtake Judah. And they did not think to give God glory. They thought it was the brilliance of their own mind that caused them to be able to go over and march through the land of Judah. They did not give God credit for 1 ounce. They said it was by our might and by our knowledge. Now, have you ever thought, my friend, they probably did devise and scheme and plan before they attacked. But one thing they did, they forgot God was using them and they left God out. they forgot God. They thought it was by their wisdom and by their power that they overthrew Judah. But then if you take your Bible, notice again in the book of Isaiah and the 10th chapter, the third thing they said. They said, we've robbed their treasuries. Underscore that. Then dropped down and said, my hand. Underscore my hand again. The first time it was by the strength of my hand, and then it was by their wisdom. Now it says, by my hand we found a nest, the riches of the people. They began to think about their wealth. They've already thought about their power. They've already bragged about their wisdom and their knowledge. And now they're making this statement, we've robbed their treasuries and look at the wealth we have. They thought they were powerful. They thought that they were wise, and they thought they were wealthy. And all this time, they were glorifying themselves. They left God out. Now then, I want to take that. I want to make application to our homes, lives, and churches in the lesson journey. You remember in the Roman letter in the 15th chapter in verse 4, that the Apostle Paul said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning and our admonition, our understanding. Many times we neglect to study the Old Testament. But when you study the Old Testament, you can make New Testament application. Now, we're not under the Old Testament covenant. We do not live according to the Mosaic dispensation. But I'll tell you, my friend, you can find things that happened in the Old Testament and apply it with New Testament wisdom. And the first thing I want us to think about is some things we can learn from the Assyrians. The first thing is the danger of the power of strength. Now you just look at our country. Now I love our country. I'm so thankful that I live in this country. But I want to tell you one thing, my friend, I'm very fearful of. I'm fearful that we think we've got so much strength that we leave God out. You know, I remember years ago, my grandfather and different ones talking about praying about going to war. And when they went to war, the people back home would pray, and the people were humble. And I'll tell you one thing you'll find today is that there are a lot of people today who think we have enough military strength, we don't need God. That if some nation ever came up against America, America's got atomic power, America's got missiles, America's got military. But I want to tell you one thing, my beloved friend. Anytime a nation leaves God out, I care not how much military might they have, they can fall. And I'll tell you one thing I'm fearful about in our nation is that many times we have left God out. We've left God out of the home. We don't pray like we once did. And I'll tell you something. I think about some of our military men and women. One thing I'm thankful for about the prayers here is we pray for the military. And we pray for those young men and ladies who are serving this nation. But I'll tell you something. Instead of praying for winning another war, we better pray we don't get in another war. And we need to pray God's with us. Because you know what, my friend? We may not be as strong the next time. Secondly, physical strength can be dangerous to a church. Now, I have no animosity whatsoever in my heart towards the Roman Catholic Church. I have friends who are part of that particular group. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend. You can look at the Roman Catholic Church and you'll see that they'll talk about their schools, their institutions, their hospitals, their political power, and they're physically strong. When you look at the Catholic Church, they're a powerhouse. But they can leave God out. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you start to look at all the things that you have amassed and you look to a man who sits on a seat in the Vatican City instead of God. But you may say, well, preacher, that's right. But you know, my friend, local churches of Christ can do that. We can sit back and we can start spooning things and doing things we ought to do. And we can have our schools and our institutions and our hospitals. And we can want to have political power. And my friend, I want us to understand that is not the strength of the church. anything we have no authority for ought not to be done. But secondly, I say this with all kindness and yet with all candor, the focus and emphasis of any and every local church of Christ should be Christ. Not our power, not our wisdom, not that we have some member that has a lot of money. I remember one time someone had talked about, don't offend this person, they're a good giver. And I went to that person and said, I'm going to tell you something. I've been told not to offend you, but I'm just going to preach it. And they said, well, that's what I want you to do. Have we become people that we're so afraid to preach truth that we leave God out because we think we're already strong? We think we've already got enough might. Now, do not misunderstand me. If an individual's wanting to start a school, that's one thing. But I'll tell you, my friend, it's not the work of the church. And I'm fearful we don't preach that like we should. I'm fearful we've left that out of our preaching. But that brings up another thought. Have you ever thought about the danger of knowledge or wisdom? You know, my friend, you can let a man put his title before or after his name, and all of a sudden he can sway people into almost anything. You put doctor behind his name, and everyone thinks, oh man, I must listen to him. But you know, my friend, just because you got a title behind your name doesn't mean that you have wisdom. You might have knowledge, you might have book learning, but that doesn't mean that you have the wisdom from God's Word. And many times what's happened is someone will get a doctorate degree, they'll go around and they'll tell young people, there's no God. You don't have to believe in God. And you ask, how did we get here? Well, some speck of life started. A unisex cell split. And all of a sudden it reproduced and it started swimming. Then all of a sudden it got out of the water and it started swinging in the trees. And here we are. And someone said, well, that's something. I tell you, it takes more faith to believe that than to believe in a Creator. Because I can see God's design. I can see design from a Creator when I look at the body and when I look at society and I look at the universe, how earth is just far enough from the sun to continue to exist. Other nations too far for too cold or too close, too warm. And yet here's earth where God has put man. And I'll tell you, you see wisdom in that. Now it's not wrong to have knowledge, but I'll tell you something. It's a problem when it leads you away from God. And I want to say something. And I hope I say it in the right way. Sometimes you can have a lot of book learning, but not have a lot of wisdom. I remember hearing one time about a boy who went off to college and he came back home. And his daddy didn't know much about school learning. And he asked his son, he said, son, what are you taking at school? And he said, well, daddy, I'm taking algebra and I'm taking a little bit of grammar. And his daddy said, well, say something to me in algebra, son. And the boy said, felt bad for his daddy. He said, pi r squared, daddy. He said, get your books, you're coming home, son. Everyone knows pi r round, cornbread r square. But you know what, my friend? That young man wasn't as wise as his daddy. He hadn't experienced as much. And sometimes what we do is we get into a point where even preachers want to prove how smart they are and how they can be an intellectual giant, and they preach over everyone's head. It takes study to make it simple, and I'll tell you, we should preach so the young people can understand and the older people can understand. But when we start getting puffed up with pride and using words no one knows, then we're like the Assyrians. We're leaving God out. We're wanting people to see us and not see God. We're wanting people to be impressed with our knowledge, our wisdom, instead of being impressed with what God has revealed. In your Bible, in the book of Proverbs, in the first chapter, remember what he said in verse 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's where knowledge begins. But that brings up something else. You ever thought of the danger of money? You ever thought about the danger of money? Money can divide people. I've seen it time and time again. I've done funerals and where the families are fighting at the funeral home over who's going to get what. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And when you come to 1 Timothy chapter 6, you'll remember that at this time Paul is writing to the young preacher, and notice he said in verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." How many people have left the faith because of money? I remember a man one time had a business. He missed and missed and missed. And someone went to him and said, "I notice you're missing a lot." And he said, "Well, I've got a business. And I don't have time to come." But you know what he had time to do? He had time to die. And I've often thought about money. It might be a blessing if we didn't have as much as we should at times. You know, I remember back hearing my grandmother talk about growing up in Ashland City, didn't have a dime hardly. You got candy, that was exciting. But she said you kind of depended on God back then, but now we look at money and we take God away. And I'll tell you what, it can lead a church away. First, if we spend money unscripturally on things we have no divine authority for. And secondly, if we sit back and we say, "We got money." Well, what have you got? Money. Well, what are you going to do with it? Sometimes we hold money like we hold our own, but the Lord's money is to be used in the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, we don't need to leave God out. We need to remember that every resource we have is to give God glory. We're using it for Him. Every resource. And when I take away and realize that it's by God's might and it's by God's strength and it's by God's wisdom and it's by God's blessing that we are where we are, then my friend, we will glorify God. Don't leave God out. Our power is in nothing but Him. I'll ask you a question. As I bring this lesson to a close, when you think about the majesty of God, have you ever just thought about how that should motivate us to be here? I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You're here on a Wednesday night. But a lot of you have to understand, you've got a lot more influence with people than I do. And I realize we've got some who cannot be here because of the virus. I understand we've got high-risk people, but I do want to say this. My heart is heavy and concerned about when this virus is gone. How many is going to come back? Because people have begun to leave God out of their daily life. And when you leave God out of your daily life, it's not long till you forget God. I heard about a preacher one time that was walking down the street and he saw a man and he said, "I've noticed you've not been at services in a while." And the man said, "Well, you know, it's rained and it's rained and it's rained." He said, "It's dry at church." He said, "Yeah, that's another reason I don't come." I'll tell you something. That not to be with the people of God. The day worship becomes dry is the day we have taken our eyes off God and left Him out. And we focus on ourselves and we focus on what we get. When I hear people say they didn't get anything out of the worship, that's okay. We didn't come to worship you. We came to worship God. And we need to be putting it in with all of our heart. Don't leave God out. And if you've left Him out of your life and you need to be baptized or restored, our prayer is you do so tonight as together we stand and sing.